back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, we'll be looking at chapter 5. You want to come up here, man? You want to come up here and preach? You don't want to trade? As we continue on in our study through 1 Peter, I tell you, he sliced and diced this week on me because you'll see it's straight to the throat of speaking about leadership in the church and challenging God's leadership here and what it's supposed to look like and what it's supposed to be patterned and how we're supposed to take our examples from the church. That's all, if you would, stand to your feet if you've got God's Word in reverence of the reading of God's Word. And let's look at 1 Peter 5, will be 1 through 4. Word of God says this, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseer, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you but being an example of the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive your crown of glory that does not fade away. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. I pray, God, speak to us through the preaching and teaching of your word today. And let us glean and be better equipped for your kingdom in Christ's name." And all God's people said, you may be seated. Peter has been encouraging these people, this church, to stand firm in difficult times and through persecution and through the struggles of their life. And he's taught them how to react in the midst of those things. We saw that last week. How are we supposed to react to these struggles that come, and how is it, and what a challenge that it is for us whenever it is difficult times do come for us to represent Christ in the midst of it. And then he's challenging the church, he's encouraging the church, which I want you to think about this thing called the church. Here we are, the ecclesia. James said, we look around at each other, look at each other in our, here it is, we're not perfect people, our infallibility, all these things that go on, and yet God brings us together for this time of worship on Sundays, and listen, not only on Sundays, but as we go out into the community 24/7, 365, as we take God out into our communities, in our places that we dwell. And so this thing called the church, which we know that's referenced many times in the Scripture as the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. And I don't know about you, but as a husband, my bride is very important to me, okay? And should be. And so I want you to think, a lot of people today are disenchanted with the church, or any organized, anybody, any organization that really gets together. This, the world today is kind of disenchanted with that. But I want you to know something. When you neglect God's bride, Jesus' bride, you're neglecting Him. Why? You don't treat this woman, mistreat her in front of me or around me. Why? Well, that'll bring the wrath of David down on you, right? She's my bride. Think about the church. When we think about church, we as God's people, as His bride, and when we neglect it or we say, well, we don't need that, we're saying that we don't need that which is precious to Jesus, that which He gave His life for, that which He came to this earth for. And so Peter here, he's challenging the church. He's challenging the believers, and he's using these verses to touch our heart today and say, he's using it to direct, this is how his bride should look. This is how the church should look. There should be certain things within our church, certain leadership aspects, and that's what he's hammering on today is the leadership of that. And he's not, you know, God's not going to leave his people alone. When Christ said, in fact, he told his disciples that I must leave so that another, the Paracletus, that will come alongside you will come. He never left his people alone when Christ left. And so he has a purpose and he has a plan in his bride and his church, and he has certain functions and the way that it should look. In today's verses, that's what it's talking about. How should leadership work in the church? And let's look at three principles in the pattern of leadership today. And the first one is the elder's role. Look at verses 1 through 2a. And this is what the Scripture says. The elders who are among you I exhort. I who him a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of his glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you. So we see here that Peter, he's picking out, he's right in the middle of this section where he's talking about suffering, how it should look, and he's talking to the elders, the leaders of the church, and he's saying, listen, you lead, you be out front in the midst of all these things. And he's telling them here, first and foremost, I want us to see there, when we see it's in the plural, the elders, so he's not just talking to one pastor, but he's talking about the leaders or the pastors of that church. And he's saying, look, I love it when he says, he don't say, I, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, does he? He doesn't pull out his greatest credential, but he says, I that am an elder that's just like you. I like that. He puts it down on their terms. And he's saying, listen, anytime that God's getting ready to do something significant, he will raise up leadership. Always. He raises up. No one person can do the job that what Christ has. No one man. He always is surrounded, and he surrounds him with people that are willing to go forward in Jesus' name that makes a difference for Christ's sake in this old world that we live in. He always raises it up. And I want you to know, listen to this. Anyone who follows Christ will be a leader. So wait a minute. Anyone who follows Christ will be a leader. You're either going to be a good one or a bad one. Let me challenge you. Be a good one. Be a good one. Don't say that you are a Christian if you don't live by the principles of God's Word. The world is tired of that. They're tired of hearing people that say they're of Christ that could not give. They don't care about you, whatever's going on, that says, hey, I love Jesus, but they don't love each other. If we are as God's people, if we are Christians, we're going to lead in some form. And he's saying, be a good one. And please listen, he's saying, I'm one of you, but he's also encouraging them in the midst of their persecution. He's saying, listen, I saw Jesus go through his suffering. I saw our greatest example. I saw Jesus Christ as he went. We know Peter's story. We know that he was there when they led him away, all these things. And we'll talk about when he's restored here in a little bit. But he saw Christ go through the things that he went through. You know what he's saying? He said, I exhort you. You know what? He's saying, come on. I'm exhorting you. That means I'm coming alongside of you. He's encouraging them. I was talking about in our Sunday school class today how we as God's people, as God's church, we do life, we do important things, life and death together. We go through these important things. And what one of the greatest things that we can do for each other is when we're going through difficult times and life is a struggle. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? Is it just me? Is it not a struggle sometimes? Can you get up some morning thinking everything's going to run so smoothly and it just seems like it falls apart? Or is that just me? But one of the greatest things that we can do for one another is to come alongside each other. Come alongside and encourage one another. And Peter, he's saying, I'm encouraging you. I'm coming alongside of you. I'm one of you. That's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, I'm compelling you to do this. And who's he compelling? Look what it says. Shepherd the flock. He's telling the elders, shepherd. What's the elder to do? Shepherd the flock of God. That's why we have that picture. Look, Christ is the example, but the elder is to shepherd the flock of God. And that's why I pose that picture of that guy leading the sheep. Shepherd the flock of God is what Peter is exhorting them to do. I can't, you know, Jesus identifies himself as what? The good shepherd. And we see this all through Scripture. Jesus as the good shepherd, and then he's encouraging the elders. He's encouraging the pastors. He's encouraging the leaders. Shepherd the flock of God. He leaves the care of his bride to the under-shepherds. You can't help but think about this. Peter, listen. Yes, Peter failed. And we talked about that in the courtyard and how he denied his Christ and he wept bitterly. But whenever they go out, I go a fishing, the guys go out fishing again and they look on the beach and somebody's there got a small fire going. He's cooking them breakfast because he knows they didn't do any good. He didn't catch no fish, right? You know what John says? It's the Lord. It's the Lord. Oh, John, he had the insight. Oh, Peter, what did Peter do? Kind of like Forrest off the boat. Just heard mama was sick. He just jumped over the boat. Go swimming to shore, man. He goes swimming to shore, and there's Jesus. And can you imagine? There's your Lord and Savior. You know you've denied Him. You've got all these emotions that's going through your heart. What did Jesus say? Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, I love you. What did He tell him to do? Feed my sheep. Shepherd, feed my sheep. He did that three times. Feed my sheep. The greatest thing that a shepherd can do is feed God's people. Shepherding is leading and feeding. I want you to think the flock of God among you. I want you to understand something. It's not the elder's flock. It's not the pastor's flock. It's who? It's God's flock. It's God's children. And that's of utmost importance when we come to these verses. He's calling these elders, these leaders, these pastors to make sure that they keep that in perspective, that this is not, listen, I want you to understand something. Please hear me well. South Fork is not David Cooper's church. South Fork is Jesus Christ's church. Okay? It's Jesus Christ's church. And He's called me as pastor. He's called leaders for us to do what? Shepherd the flock of God. Take care of His children. That's what He's saying. Why? God values His flock. He died for us. He died for His children. He gave His life, His very best for us. Never take this for granted. This is not a take it or leave it choice on Sunday morning, okay? This is understanding who you are and whose you are. And when we do that, you know what we do? We come expectantly. We come excitedly. We come rejoicing because of the thankful heart of what He's done. Are we perfect here? No! Listen, you've heard me say many times, don't come to South Fork if you're looking for a perfect church, because I'm here and I'm far from perfect. But listen, in our imperfections, we have this love for one another and love for Christ that will see us through anything. And get us through the hardships. We can do life and we can do death together with a smile on our face, because we have joy unto the Lord. We have each other. That's priceless. We have each other. You're never alone. Don't let Satan tell you you're alone, because that's what he likes to do. Not when you have God's people. You have family. You have people that you can go through life together. So that's the elder's role. Look at the elder's responsibility, verses 2b through 3. Serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples of the flock. So we see that he's serving as an overseer. Serving as an overseer, that's exercising oversight. That's to look upon, you know what that is? That's protecting the flock of God. That's what the shepherd did. The Lord is my shepherd, David said. He understood what shepherding was. If you read about old David, and yes, he starts out watching over the sheep, but God in that sheepfold and watching over and tending those sheep taught him lesson that he would never forget. He was able to face the giant in Goliath because he had faced the bear and he had faced the lion out there in the shepherd, out there in the flock, protecting, overseeing, watching. And so an overseer, and Peter begins with this clear exhortation that the shepherd must watch over the sheep or lead, guard, feed them. And we see in these verses, that especially at the end, that the main way of doing that and the responsibility of that elder is to be an example to them. At the end of the day, a shepherd should smell like sheep. Should he not? At the end of the day, a shepherd should smell like sheep. He spends time with the sheep, with the flock of God. I guarantee you, there ain't many shepherds that didn't come in smelling like sheep, did he? In fact, most of the time he spent his whole life with them, investing in the sheep. And so I want us to think about that God lives and He gives the flock and He wants to oversee. And He talks about this example. And I want you to see something, though, that I missed back in the first point, and it was that, listen to this statement, when we're leading, when we're shepherding people, you must become the change you want to see in other people. You must become the change that you want to see in other people. Gandhi said that. All truth is God's truth. You must become the change you want to see in other people. You see, we want many people to change, don't we? We want people to act right, but you know what he's saying? He said, you become that change if you want to lead by example. Because during this, when he says he gives a flock the life that he can follow, he's being that example. He can be out front, not overseeing them or driving them, but leading them. And I want you to see that there's some examples of things that we have to avoid in that. And he exhorts three perils that we can look at and we can see in this overseeing the flock. And the first one is not by compulsion, but willingly. What's he talking about? The first danger that Peter mentions is shepherding under compulsion. Just begrudging service. It's kind of like, if you're not careful, you're going to get up tomorrow morning because it's what? Monday morning. Oh, dear Lord, this weekend went so fast, and I've got to just get up, go back to work, the old ball and chain. We know what begrudging is. You know that you can do that in serving God's people. Just do it out of compulsion just because you have to. And that's what he's talking about. Just serving from a sense of duty. Men that serve from a sense of duty will not have the love necessary for God's people to flourish. Just doing it because you're supposed to. He said, don't do it out of compulsion, but what's he say? But willingly, voluntarily, diligent, rather than just lazy or taking it as something to be for granted. A heart motivated that's not forced, but it chooses to willingly. He must love God's people and be characterized as being a selfless servant. That's the first one. Not as compulsion, but willingly. But second one, look, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. It's all about the money. Listen, in Peter, and also in our days, there's many people that peddle the Word of God. It's all about what you can make. All about what you can get, not about what you can get. True shepherds never use a ministry to steal sheep's money. You hear me? You see that time and time again. It's not about being a mercenary, getting paid to do what you got to do. Listen, and there's some guys that just work to the level of what they think pay. I'm just making this much, so I'm not responsible for doing that. Wrong answer. It's not about the pay. If you're in it for the pay, you're a mercenary. You're a gun for hire. You should work all the time for the Lord. It doesn't matter about your level of pay. Serving Him. Listen, I just can't believe that God pays me to do something I do for free. Did you say that, preacher? Yep. And if I wouldn't, I need to get away and just walk away. Why? Because, boy, when the churches come and offer you them big old packages, that's what you leave for. You don't leave because God told you to. You leave for the package instead of, and don't think they don't fall in front of you, too. It's not about the money. It's about being where God has placed you and thriving. And yes, a workman's worthy of his hire is what it says. But listen, if it's about the money, you don't need to be in it. You don't need to be a pastor. And that's what he's saying here, not because we've seen enough of that in our time, haven't we? It started in the 80s. Dear Lord, like a ruined church. And the prosperity gospel they're preaching now, hey, you give me 1,000 and God will give you 10,000. Dear Lord. What kind of investment is that? God's not obligated to give us anything. He gives you your breath. He gives you your heartbeat. Listen, if He takes care of you, you should be thankful. Like James said, thankful, and so that we can even to give unto the Lord. And I want you to know something. It's not about being eager for cash or motivated by wealth. It's about being eager to see God's people. It's about understanding God's people come to know Him, to grow in grace. It's about eager understanding that you have the privilege of being able to stand up here and preach God's Word. That is a privilege and a high privilege. Never take that for granted. If you're a teacher, if you're a leader, it's a privilege. Not begrudgingly. Don't do it for the money, but you do it because you love the Lord. Lastly, nor has being lords over those entrusted to you, but being an example of the flock. The elders not to be domineering. It's not a misuse of power. Absolute power does what? Corrupts? Absolutely, that old statement. It's not about, and listen, I've seen it many times, somebody that takes their power and misuses it is a dictator. Not allowing God's people, listen, to be led. You cannot drive sheep. It's like trying to herd Jell-O, okay? You can't drive sheep, but you lead them. You lead them and they
Scripture says that. Be out front as an example. The Lord has, he says, entrusted over those who entrusted to you. The Lord has entrusted that which he died for, that his bride, that which is so much of a privilege and beloved to him. He's entrusted that to you as an elder, so you better take care of them and lead them and be the example that God's called them to be. Never ask somebody to do something you wouldn't do yourself. Hello! See pastors in these big old churches and they get all, hey, they dress nice and drive nice cars. They become the CEO, you know what? And they're too, they get too haughty to take the trash off or sweep the floor or to go out and pick up something that's laying around. Let me tell you something. Show me scripture and verse. There's no CEOs. It's God's shepherds as the under shepherd to the main shepherd. And I want you to know what he did. He washed old dirty feet on the night before he's going to be crucified and gave his life. You lead by example. You lead by being a servant to all. And that's what he's challenging them to do. He says, no, he's not asking people to do, but being willing yourself, doing something you wouldn't do. Jesus came to serve and not to be served. And that mentality that we should serve Christ through being a servant to his children, his flock. Because I want you to see that's the pastor's or the elder's role, and that's the pastor or the elder's responsibility. But listen, lastly, is the elder's reward. Look at verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. You know what Peter's saying? This is why we do it. That's what he's saying. We do it because there is a reward, and Christ will show up one day, and how you treated his bride is going to be how he treats you. Woo! Think about that now. He's saying, look, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. You know what? I love the beautiful title that he uses our Savior as chief shepherd. And that's the imagery of our Messiah. And Peter's saying, listen, he's our great shepherd. You need an example on how to lead? Go to Jesus. Go to the chief shepherd, which, by the way, he's the one that commissioned you under him to lead his people. When he appears, Peter's always talking about that second coming, ain't he? It's like, hey, Peter's not so caught up in the right now that he's not seeing that there's a future and there's a purpose. I hope that we understand that. There is a future and there's a purpose, and Jesus is going to return one of these days, the second coming. It says the trump's going to sound one of these days. You know what? And the dead in Christ is going to rise first. And whether I come up through the ground 6 foot or whether I go up through the clouds, I'm going to be shouting. Why? Because we finally made it, dear Lord. Woo! We finally made it. And the culmination of that, listen, this is not Aesop's fable. This is not something that they made up in Hollywood. This is the truth of God. And it will stand forever. And Peter says, listen, when the chief shepherd comes, he's talking about the second coming or a second appearing. That, listen, what? It's not going to be about trophies, which during these now sports, they win a big trophy and they go around kissing it and all that stuff, right? In their days, it was a crown. Peter said, listen, and he saw many, I'm sure he saw many events, and the Stephanos, the crown which the runner would get, and it was a reed, actually. He said, you know what? That thing that it was made out of, it would die eventually. So all you'd have is some old leaves and something that they made a crown out of there. And you'd say, yeah, I won that one. And Peter said, listen, your crown ain't going to fade. Your trophies that you put up on the shelf that you win whenever you didn't have a gut and you look like an old He-Man, right? Look at those trophies I won. Listen, they just get, all they do is gather dust. They rust and fade. You know what? One of these days when you're gone, somebody's going to throw them things away. Why we even got them? Who won them? I don't know. Peter says, this crown that you're working for is not something that's going to fade, but it's going to stand forever. Is that what he said? It don't eventually rust or fade, but it says that, hey, it's a crown that Jesus gives and it lasts forever. Shepherding a flock is a serious and a sobering responsibility, and the elders are accountable to God for their ministry. All you have to do is look at James 3, verse 1. He says, man, James Chow. Let me put it into DIV, Dave's International Version. James saying, don't wish to be a pastor or a teacher. He's saying because they will stand under greater accountability to the Lord one day. he's not trying to discourage somebody. He's just saying, if you are one, you better take it pretty seriously. You will stand and give an account on what you do with this word and how you teach it. And most of all, how you live it out. Don't you challenge people to be doing what you're not doing yourself. Seminary, I'll never forget it. And I think I might have shared this story with you. We went down and 41 years old, took two kids, sold out, went, moved into college housing, just me and Sandy. Had youngins out. You wouldn't believe how they just flocked to us because we, like mom and daddy, they're away from their families. You can imagine we have youngins all over the world. But one thing that we saw is here they were. They were a lot of them, wouldn't go to church on Sunday. And that bothered me so bad. And I thought, here they are coming, learning how to be a pastor, an elder, a leader of God's flock, and you won't even go to church on Sunday when you're in seminary? What's up with that? I want you to know something. Here's what I told God. I was so burdened. God, if you'll give me the opportunity, give me the platform, I'll address that. I'll say something about it. Fast forward 3 years later. 3 years later, every week they pick somebody from the college area, or once a year they pick a week that they had the seminary and the college would get up and preach, and they'd pick somebody out of preaching class to preach in that chapel in front of your peers that come in, and you had all your professors and all these people, great men of God that had stood and preached. I'm talking about, you name it, you can't think of a great man that's preached in the Baptist that has not stood in that pulpit and preached on that seminary. And that will give you a mind job, by the way. And I'm thinking, listen, when they picked me in, I'm saying, Lord, I sound like a hick. They make fun of me all the time. Why would you ever pick me when all these other guys, you know what God said? Remember what you told me? Look, 3 years. You better watch what you tell the Lord. You know what I did? I done exactly what I told him I'd do. I said, listen, many of you are going to get up one day and you're going to challenge God's flock of people to do what you wouldn't do yourself. You know what that's called? A hypocrite. And that's right. A man that gets up and challenges you to do something that he's not living himself is a hypocrite. And he needs to get taken and kicked right out the door. If he's not living it, he shouldn't be preaching it. And we all should be living it and not professing to be something that we're not. Linda, come and play applications and we're done. You know, it's not a discouraging, he's not trying to discourage people from being elders or leaders. He's just trying to say, listen, you better know the importance of it. You better live it out. Application. How are you leading in your example of Christ? Now, we've already determined, you say, well, I'm not a leader. Mom and dad, you're in a family, you're leading. You're being an example to somebody. How are you doing in your leadership to Christ? Are you leading? Number two, do you pray for the leaders of this church? Do you? Do you pray? I want you to know something. Sandy and I, we prayed for every one of you in this room as a family this week. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that so I can brag about our prayers. I'm saying I love you. And if I love you, I'm going to pray for you. How dare me to challenge you to do something I'm not doing myself? Did you pray for your leadership this week? Something to think about. Number three, and then we'll finish on this. Why do you come to South Fork? Why do you come to South Fork? Compulsion? Compulsion, just doing it because grandma and grandpa and mom and daddy took me. This is just my church and that's just where I come. Is it just to do your church fix? Just to go through the motions? Or is it because you realize that this is the place that God's called you to serve? Not to be served, to serve. Why do you come to South Fork? Is it to worship the living true God through Jesus Christ, His Son? Let's all stand on our feet. What's God saying to you? Bow your head before the Lord. We're going to do some business. What's He saying to you? Because obedience brings Him glory. Do you know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know that you've received Him as your personal Savior? You! I'm not talking about maybe as a kid and your life never changed. I'm talking about you came face to face with the living God through Christ your Lord, and He's changed your life.
motivator for why you live? Do you have a relationship with Him? If you do not, this altar's open. Jesus would like for you to come to know Him as personal Savior today. Don't put off what you can do now. What is Christ saying to you? Act in obedience. Has He spoken to you through His message today? Do you realize that you're a leader? Are you leading well? Church, are you leading? Are you out front for the cause of Christ? Altar's open if you need to speak to the Lord. Lastly, why are you here? Why has God got you at South Fork? Have you ever even thought about that purpose? Or are you just going through the motions? Just going through the motions and never realizing God has a purpose and a plan. What's He saying to you? The altar's open. We won't tarry long. Some are praying. What about you? All right, looky here. I guess everybody's all right. Thank you for praying for me. Appreciate that. Keep in your prayers. Listen, tonight, 6 o'clock, Finger Food Fellowship, youth, Kingdom Kids, something for everybody. Sit around and we'll eat and we'll feast on the things of God. So come back out. And listen, I love you. Any way I can help you, please let me know. Spiritually, if you struggle, don't go through it alone. Don't put on the plastic. Pull off the plastic. Say, you know, this is what's going on. Will you walk through me with it? And that's what we'd be glad to do. As a church family, as a body of believers. Lee closes in prayer.